was shot and was killed tonight.
I will never say that progress has been made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that you blow, that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
All men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal privilege.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. Before we get to our guest, I'm going to get to our guest after our first break here. I want to, and he's going to talk about an exit strategy for getting out of the war that this government started after 9/11. But I think it's important to talk about the stories that may have passed you by, you may not have caught, because they were teeny tiny stories, not put in context of the overwhelming number of stories about this 5-year anniversary of 9/11. Let me give you some stories. Did you hear about this one? 10 South Florida journalists, including 3 with the Miami Herald Spanish language sister paper, 10 of them, they received thousands of dollars from the federal government for their work on radio and television programming aimed at undermining Fidel Castro. Do you hear what I'm saying? Some of them received as much as $240,000. You want to know why people think a certain way? Well, your good government is paying them money to think that way. Y'all just thought it was all about, you know, paying one black guy some money to talk smack, supporting the No Child Left Behind piece. No. It's about getting the world to see things as you want them to do and paying people to make it happen. A columnist, Pablo Alfonso, Olga Connor, who wrote for the El Nuevo Herald, were paid a total of $246,000. Both of them have since been fired. A freelance relationship with another reporter received $15,000 from our government. Huh. And all of the stories that they wrote were all about undermining Fidel Castro's country, government, people, country. That's what it was about. Your good government's money at work. How y'all doing out there? Y'all got all the money you need? Okay, I guess it doesn't mean nothing to you then. We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call, 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me.
Commission on Human Rights of St. Louis Incorporated presents the Electric Shock Radio Hour. A call-in radio talk show airing on WGNU AM 920. Saturday night at 9 o'clock, hosted by Roger Teagarden, Executive Director of Citizens Commission on Human Rights, St. Louis.
From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs. OJ Photo Supply, a standard of quality service since 1970. 8338 Olive. Cameras, digital cameras, photo restorations. What's the best film for my camera? OJ Photo Supply can answer your questions. OJ Photo Supply, 8338 Olive, 991-5550. Don't forget, always check your decks.
Hi, everybody. I'm Regis Philbin, and I'm here to tell you that America is on the move. By making just two small changes to your daily routine, you too can experience what these folks have and improve your health. Just listen.
America on the Move is for real people of all ages and sizes. I started moving a few years ago. My pedometer keeps track of my steps.
My cholesterol level has actually dropped 40 points.
We've changed some things about our diet to be a lot healthier, but we didn't cut out the things that we enjoy. And I think that's something that really works for me about America on the Move.
We walk every street in our town.
Every morning before work, off we go.
America on the Move wants to help you get healthy right where you live.
Celebrate America on the Move Month at the YMCA during the last week of September. Log on to AmericaOnTheMove.org to find fun events at YMCAs and other locations near you.
Make today the first day of a healthier way of life. America on the Move.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I know I'm praying for much too much, but could you send back the only man she loved? I know you don't do it usually, but dear Lord, she's dying to dance with my father again. Every night I fall asleep, and this is all I ever dream.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I don't know. Is this just the conspiracy in me? I'm looking at this story in USA Today. Half of the New York remains have been identified. There were 2,749 people killed in New York. They have, 5 years later, New York City Medical Examiner's Office have identified half of the 21,000 body parts recovered near the site of the World Trade Center. A spokesperson for that office said the work has been complicated by the discovery in just this last year of 760 fragments of remains in a nearby office building being prepared for demolition. One set of the remains was matched to a 9/11 victim this year. Did you hear what I just said? Or did you appreciate what I just said or what I just read? They discovered 760 more fragments just this year. Now, here's the interesting part. Those of you that have seen Loose Change, check out this stat. Again, there were 21,000 body parts discovered. 2,749 victims killed in New York. 1,598 of them have been identified. Now, the Pentagon, mind you, there were 184 people killed. 179 of them have been identified. 5 people who perished at the Pentagon could not be matched to remains. And then the Pennsylvania victims, there were 40 of them, and all 40 of them have been identified. Now, remember, the United Airlines Flight 93, that's the one that was, they had 40 people on board, the one that the passengers struggled with the hijackers, right? And the victims identified at the Pentagon were examined by the Pentagon. And the 5 people who perished at the Pentagon, also the Pentagon also identified people who died at the Pentagon when the crash took place. Everybody has been identified. And understand that the identifications at the Pentagon took place have been complete since early 2002. Isn't that interesting? They have been identified since 2002. One 877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want a toll free, long distance me, do that at 1 877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And you know what? You want to know how successful the execution of this war has been? You want to know how successful it has been? All you have to do is look at how hard the Republicans are running on this issue, this upcoming election. Oops. They're not running on this issue. Oops. They are not running on this issue. Well, in fact, what are the Republicans running on? Oh, well, I would be honored to tell you. I would be honored to tell you. Check this out. Republicans are going to spend the vast majority of their sizable financial war chest in the last 60 days of this campaign attacking Democratic House and Senate candidates over personal issues. So how'd that war thing work out for them? If you ain't ashamed of it, how come you ain't running on it? If it was a good thing, how come you're not stuffing it down our throats with commercial after commercial, with American flag after American flag? Where you at, baby? Where are the Republicans at on this war thing? Oh, that's right. I'm going to attack Claire McCaskill's husband for his tax returns. That's what I want to talk about. I want to find out what the tax returns of Claire McCaskill's husband is. That's what I want to know. Why aren't you talking about the war, baby? Ain't that going good? Aren't we winning? Haven't we been greeted as liberators? Haven't we won the exit? We are safer, but not safe. Y'all don't want to run on that crazy phrase? We are safer, but we're not safe. That means that we're not safe. There is no safety in not safe. Unless y'all have changed the English language. There is no safer in not safe. Again. Unless there has been another midnight move by the Republicans on the halls of the Senate floor, changing the English language, that not safe means safer, it doesn't. If we are not safe, we cannot be safer. And if we are, how come none of y'all are running on it? Can't you just see the bumper sticker? Oh, no, we're not safe, but we're safer. Reelect me. Huh? Trillions of dollars later, we're not safe, but we're safer. No, okie dokie, run on that one. Run on that one. Oh, that's right, you can't. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back at you. Stay with me.
St. Louis, 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Northbound 270 at 55 and 44. Slow traffic with an accident blocking two right lanes north of Gravoy. Northbound 170 at Olive. Right lane is closed as crews are extending the off-ramps in an effort to relieve the congestion on 170. Westbound 70 at St. Louis Avenue and Branch look for. An accident's been cleared. There's still residual delays all the way through the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound 70 at Salisbury, look for that accident to have been cleared now. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and 79, expect slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from 141 all the way through 270, you've got heavy volume there. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill to 270, there's congestion. Westbound 270 at Canal Bridge all the way back through Illinois 3, look for delays. Westbound 5570, northbound King Bridge, or northbound Route 3 and westbound King Bridge onto the Poplar Street Bridge, expect delays. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Start with a cup of McDonald's fresh brewed coffee, premium roast coffee that is. Add a warm, fresh-made breakfast sandwich and bring your morning into life-affirming focus. Wake up and smell your life. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Occasional showers today. Locally heavy rain is possible, high in the lower 80s. This evening, showers and thunderstorms likely with a low in the lower 60s. Tuesday, cloudy, 50% chance of showers, high in the mid-70s. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day with a high in the mid-70s. Currently, we have 72 degrees at the studios of AM 920 WGNU. Stay tuned for more of Liz and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
What is hospice care? Families turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of the home. Through pain management, emotional counseling and support, and compassionate health care, the Point of Change Hospice treats the patient as a whole person facing end-of-life issues. Point of Change. They provide skilled hospice nursing, medical social services, occupational therapy, physical therapy, chaplain and counseling services, bereavement follow-up, and trained hospice volunteers. They accept Medicare, Medicaid, and private health insurance. Please give them a call. One of their counselors is waiting to talk to you. Their number, 535-4500. That's 535-4500. Point of Change Hospice. Caring for our families, caring for our community, and caring for you. From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs.
E.
Do you need a lawyer? A caring lawyer who listens to you? Well, call Earlene McAllister Thomas, 454-1811, for divorce, child support, child custody, criminal defense, accident, workers' comp, name change, or traffic case. Call Earlene Thomas. She's an excellent trial attorney and an aggressive advocate. 454-1811. Don't forget, always check your deck.
Radio Mix. Nuevo concepto en radio. La música que te gusta. El torneo que te encanta. Por la nueva de San Luis. Con todos los éxitos del momento. Todos los domingos. De 6 a 8 de la noche. Radio Mix. Por el 920 AM. Escucha a través de la red electrónica. En internet. WGNU.net. Todos los domingos. De 6 a 8.
Hi, this is Lethea Owens with The Motivational Moment. I would like to encourage you to use persuasion instead of convincing when you are communicating with others and you are wanting to influence them. You see, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. When you use persuasion, people actually adopt your way of thinking. But when you convince people, guess what? All you get is compliance. So please join me on Mondays from 1 to 2 for Motivational Mondays, where your dreams become reality on AM 920 WGNU.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Because you ought to know what you're going to get in me. Just a little touch of sock water, too. And if that too bright goes too far, it's because of the things you are. Beautiful sound, I love you. And
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Today is the fifth year anniversary of 9/11. Y'all feeling safer out there? You feel safer out there? We have an election that's coming up that should help you make that or this election affords you an opportunity to let the world know how safe you feel, how took you feel, how taken advantage of you feel. That's what this upcoming election in November will give you an opportunity to do. And the Republicans are going to spend their money going negative. The Republicans are going to spend their money trying to find out the tax returns of Claire McCaskill's husband as opposed to, oh, I don't know. How about the audits of Halliburton and the millions of dollars that they spent on chicken wings and Super Bowl parties that we paid for? How about, let's talk about that bit of money. Huh? How about, you want to talk about money spent? Taxpayers' money spent. You want to talk about that? If we want to talk about secrets kept, let's talk about the secret meeting that Dick Cheney had with the oil execs and that $3 a gallon gasoline that you've been paying for. You want to know what Claire McCaskill's husband's tax returns look like? He ain't running for office. He ain't running for office. What you, huh? Let's talk about the secret meeting that determined whether or not I was going to be paying $1 something a gallon of gas or $3 or something a gallon of gas. Let's talk about that secret. That public secret. Instead of private privacy. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Yes, John. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just first time I've got your show on the radio, and I just want to say I appreciate you. Basically, you're making a whole lot of sense. No, of course they can't. Better turn that radio down. It's confusing me to hear my voice. But anyway. When I think about what's going on in the country right now, I mean, I'm not seeing any money out of this war, are you?
Not seeing a dime.
No, we're not going to either. I'm a truck driver, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And
so how are those diesel prices treating you out there?
Terrible.
And explain to me why diesel used to be cheaper than gas. Now diesel is more expensive than gas. How'd that happen?
First time in my life it's ever been higher than gas. It's cheaper to make. There's no reason for it to be.
You can run some. I mean, according to Willie Nelson, you can run some of these trucks on oil from.
There are alternative fuel sources. You know, we're not going to see them as long as the oil industry and those interests, the Republican interests, own this country. You know, I was thinking as you were talking on the air that one of the things I consider truck driving one of the last bastions of freedom in this country. I really do. It's one of the last pioneers. We're out there moving around, and you got to realize today that's a luxury.
A few years ago, you used to look
out there on the highway, and you'd see people of all economic strata out there driving and having fun. They're not there today. It's business out there. Nobody else can afford to be out there.
John, that's a great point. That is really,
you want to lock up a country, make it impossible for them to travel.
There you go. There you go.
You want to lock up various parts of society, make it impossible to travel and talk to each other.
There you go. And when you're out there on the road talking to folks out there, John, what are people saying? Are they happy with this current administration?
No, hell no. Nobody's happy about it. They're all scared. Mm. You know, I have other thoughts just listening to you. I was taking a nap when I flipped on the radio and got you, and I really basically called to say I appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate your call, and those are really great thoughts.
I got to tell you, man, when you look at what's going on in the country today, they've locked this country down.
We're on lockdown.
They've eliminated the middle class. Ever since the 60s, when that revolution somewhat freed up some portions of society, and I'd say black people, maybe, you know, some of them, education became more available to some. But what they did was the Republicans or those conservative people that really had the money in the country were scared to death of what was going on, because what it was doing was drying up their ability to enslave people through wages that were too cheap to live on.
And they've been planning since then. They have been working their plans since then.
Well, the Mexican thing these days, where all the Spanish-American, Mexican-American, Latin-American, I mean, no disrespect, I love them. They're a hard-working bunch of people, but they're cheap labor. And they've just simply swapped out America. They're going to keep letting them across the border and let them do what they would call stoop labor or whatever. But they're going to get cheap labor out of it.
It's about cheap labor.
It is certainly about cheap labor.
It's about
nobody's making any money off this war except Halliburton.
Well, Halliburton and all of the other companies that Bechtel, Brown and Root, all of them.
Katrina cleanup, the war. It's all about money that isn't going to see you or me, for sure.
That's fact. John, thank you so much for your call this morning.
Keep doing good work, girl.
All right. Take care. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. That is a very, very good point. That is a very, very good point. You make it difficult for people to travel around this country. Travel around the city. Freedom of travel. That is what we are being imprisoned by our own gas prices. Not our own gas. By these imposed gas prices. Now, gas prices are going down right now. But we have an election coming up. I assure you, you can set your clock by it. The day after election, gas prices, irrespective of who what party is in control, gas prices will go right back up to where they were. Explain to me, and if it's not a manipulation, explain to me in heaven's name, what seismic thing has occurred to make diesel more expensive than gasoline? Diesel is the cheapest fuel that is out there. You can make diesel fuel in your blender at home. You can make diesel fuel from French fry oil. It is so true. Scare people, keep them isolated, and feed them propaganda. Hello. What does that combo get you? Scare people, keep them isolated with gasoline prices, keep them in their homes, scared, and then when they turn on the telly, show them crazy lies of movies like 9/11 that says that it was Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton that was the fault of Osama bin Laden. Do that. What's the wicked cake that comes out of those, the combination of those ingredients? Oh, Lord, my name is Liz Brown. We have much business to tend to. Much, much, much business to tend to. You're on the wake-up call.
Hey, how you doing?
You know what? Hold that thought, because we're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back. Huh? Keep us isolated, keep us scared, and feed us propaganda. Where did the $40 million to make that movie that they showed without commercial? Where did the $40 million come from? Let's get those tax returns. I'll be back.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline London. The publication The Observer says it has obtained copies of leaked emails that indicate the United States is involved in covert military operations inside Somalia. That is a direct violation of rules from the United Nations. The emails describe how American firms planned covert undercover missions to support President Abdullah Youssef's transitional government against the Supreme Islamic Courts Council, which took over the capital in Mogadishu several months ago. The emails indicate several British security groups are also involved and that the operations have been told they can use three military bases inside Somalia and the air access to them. A Florida-based military company called ATS is also mentioned in the communiques. The ATS website claims it can execute operations in support of host national indigenous forces and uses former special ops personnel from both America and Britain. And Dateline Miami. A county in Florida is planning to construct a $400 million trash facility that will vaporize waste by using plasma arcs. The 100,000-square-foot plant is expected to be in operation within the next 2 years and will be able to get rid of 3,000 tons of garbage a day using the electrical arcs that will burn waste at temperatures hotter than the sun. Officials in St. Lucie County say if the project works as is designed, its entire landfill will be emptied before 20 years is up. Combustible gas produced in the vaporization process will then be used to run turbines that'll create electricity that will then be sold back into the power grid. And some 80,000 pounds of steam created per day will be sold back to a juice factory to power that company's turbines. There are two similar plants in operation, both in Japan, but they are a much smaller operation than the one that's being built in Florida. Plus, no emissions are expected to be released during this entire process. However, critics say similar projects have been misrepresented all over the country before, and two other facilities in Australia and Germany had to be shut down because they could not meet emission standards. And it's much too soon to believe such wild claims. This is your wake-up call global news update.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
This is Judy Moskoff. Join me for A Gardener's Notebook every Monday at 12 noon on AM 920. Get useful tips on growing beautiful flowers and fresh produce. That's A Gardener's Notebook, Mondays at noon on AM 920 WGNU.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Like I'm invisible.
Baby, you won't treat me the way you're treating me.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Oh, my goodness, 454-6609. That is my fax. Get up, get up, get up. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm outstanding.
What do you think about this 9/11 celebration of? Is it political, or is this the bleeding heart of America?
Well, it's I dare say that you ask anyone that is going to most people don't know the names of five people who died, and there were how many over 2,000 people?
3,000. They pushed the number toward 3,000. We're not talking about the plane that crashed in Philadelphia. That's not the same number that they talk about in Washington, D.C. These things are kept separate. The Philadelphia crash, I don't even think they have a memorial there. They say it's a field. The remnants of it is almost gone. So it's not the whole 9/11 day. It's just New York seemingly is on the front burner. Even though the president's on visit the three sites, they're not equally shared as far as the mourning.
Well, the reason why Bush is visiting all three sites today is because that's three different opportunities to be on the news to ratchet up the 9/11 issue and to keep people from talking about how much money that we spend. It's kind of like Martin Luther King's birthday. A lot of folks don't want to talk about the hard issues of racism on Martin Luther King's birthday because it's a celebration. People look at it as a celebration. We want to celebrate the positive things. We don't want to take a look at the negative things. So when Bush clamors or scampers from each hole in the ground as a result of 9/11, it's all about the press piece of it to keep people from talking about all of the screw-ups, all of the death, all of the destruction, all of the extraordinary loss of money, all of the extraordinary loss of freedoms, all $3-plus gasoline, all of that. People aren't going to ask him those hard questions, or they're not going to report those hard questions while he's scampering from tragedy to tragedy.
Oh, I agree. And let me say this. If New York, if we are so dedicated to this monument, the ground that was bombed and destroyed should be a total park, yet they're trying to figure out how to put buildings on there to make money. And this is why I have a problem with this whole 9/11 thing. I think if it's that sacred, men have died, 3,000 soldiers, not counting all the other people, then that whole earth should be memorialized and blessed and said, okay, this is a park forever.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes. I wanted to talk about Katrina after seeing the movie When the Levees Broke. That was an excellent documentary.
It was very, very good.
And I just feel like it's such anger. So, I mean, that's...
What are you angry about?
Everything. The way people were treated, our government, what could have been done that wasn't. Just everything.
Mm.
Every single thing.
Mm. Mm.
Well, I mean, it's just, I guess you shouldn't really be surprised, but it's just so unbelievable.
Well, when you have an appreciation and an understanding of history, it's not. It's not. Because when you see how people were treated, it's not inconsistent with people of color and how poor people have been treated in this nation. It's not.
And I know you're right, but it's just, I don't know. I mean, just the anger. I couldn't imagine just the anger that I feel. And I wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would say that anybody suggesting to definitely see that documentary.
That's right. When the Levees Broke in four parts. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Well, good morning, Miss Brown. How are you today?
I'm outstanding.
I was listening to your first album. That was a tape, or was that live?
That was a tape.
Okay, but anyway, I believe him more than I do George Bush. He was there. And I wonder, I know his story probably been told over and over again. Do people listen to him?
Well, it depends on how far out you get the story. It's my understanding that they may be making a movie about him.
About him?
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about William Rodriguez.
Yeah, right. Well, when you get through flying your flags today and shedding your tears, downtown bald people wants $100 million.
What are you talking about?
They ain't got enough money to build a ballpark.
You mean really. Francis Slay
was
inaccurate about that as well?
Yeah, yeah. When you get through crying today, they want $100 million to
finish
their little playpen off.
How much money did we give them to build the ballpark? Against the wishes of our citizens? And we needed to build it because the Cardinals are going to leave if we don't build them a new stadium, which was a lie. You know, or bye-bye.
And you know what, Miss Brown? I look at that ballpark down there, taxpayers paying their dollars, homeowners paying their tax dollars. And they don't even have a black player down there that their kids can go down there and look at and say, Daddy or Mom, I would like to be like him. Now, that's what's happening here in the city of St. Louis.
It's a gated community. It's the fourth most segregated city in the United States of America. Why wouldn't the ballpark and the players represent that?
It's pitiful.
Why wouldn't that team represent the realities on the ground here in the city of St. Louis? It's the fourth most segregated city in the United States.
The fourth one?
Yes.
I thought it was the first one. Mm.
Well, look, they're competing with the entire South. I think that's extraordinary.
It's more segregated here than it is in my hometown.
Mm.
And people is not crying. The politicians, you go down there, they're spending their money, and they're not hollering about this issue.
Thanks for your call, man.
Thank you.
1-877-99-20-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Liz, the obscene thing is Bush, Cheney, Rove have sought to take 911 and patent it, incorporate it, franchise it to push a right-wing ideology. Gore Vidal was right when he said Bush would leave office as the most hated, reviled president in U.S. history. It was said that to meet Herbert Hoover was like getting into a tub of black ink. That's what this man is, and history will record that he appealed to the worst in us and brought out the worst in us. Thank you very much, Liz.
My name is Liz Brown. I will be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound, but below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop me, sister.
The truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Alder. 5 years ago, we were a nation gripped by fear. The first of what would be two planes hit the World Trade Center, then the Pentagon, then a small town of Shanksville, Pennsylvania. President Bush is marking this fifth anniversary with New York's bravest ABC's Ann Compton is traveling with him.
Mournful wail of bagpipes echoes here in Lower Manhattan this morning. Here at the Fort Pitt Firehouse, officers surround President Bush, very silent at the moment the first plane hit the World Trade Center, and then for the moment of the second attack. Ann Compton, ABC News, New York.
And at Ground Zero now, the reading of the names, an annual tradition. The president's next stop is Shanksville, and then it's on to the Pentagon. ABC's Pam Coulter is there.
The plane that hit the Pentagon tore through three of the building's five rings, destroying 2 million square feet of office space. It was rebuilt by the one-year anniversary of the attacks, with a charred piece of limestone used to anchor the rebuilt outer wall. And many security improvements have been made, but the 24,000 people who work here realize that no security system is fail-safe.
The president will address the nation tonight. 5 years later, there's still contention over just how to honor those who died at Ground Zero. Rudolph Giuliani was mayor of New York at the time of the attack.
Some people want to see a park. Some people want to see a grand soaring memorial, which is what I would like to see. Some people want office buildings. Other people want just memorial.
This could be the last year the families will be able to go directly to Ground Zero. Construction could prevent it from next year forward. Many people from foreign countries were killed on 9/11. Britain remembers its victims in a ceremony today near the U.S. Embassy in London. Alex Clark's daughter was killed that day.
She was a happy, successful young woman who went from university to Brussels, Brussels to New York, got the dream job that she'd been looking for, and was looking forward to a great life.
This is ABC News.
There's an energy crisis in my house. The kids have too much, my husband and I barely enough. You see, they're in a let's hide things for mommy phase. So I'm late for work and there's only one brown shoe in my closet. I need my Carnation Instant Breakfast.
With twice the calcium of yogurt and 21 vitamins and minerals, Carnation Instant Breakfast has the complete nutrition you need to get going. Even on a Monday.
Oh boy. Kids, where'd you put the cat?
Nestle Carnation Instant Breakfast. Serious morning fuel.
There are infinite dynamics in business. There's the every customer is a repeat customer dynamic, or the pleased to meet you and here's how we can help you dynamic, or the old the customer is always right even when you know they're wrong dynamic. And to help you master such dynamics, there's Microsoft Dynamics, software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
You're paying less for gas. The latest Lundberg survey shows prices dropped 22 cents a gallon in the last 2 weeks. The average now, $2.65 nationwide. Roger Federer has another U.S. Open men's singles championship, but his American opponent made him work for it. Here's ABC's Todd Anderson.
Andy Roddick came into this tournament with a new coach in Jimmy Connors and a rejuvenated game, and he plowed through the draw until he got to the finals. There he met Roger Federer, the top player in the world, and Federer came up with a four-sets win over Roddick, his third consecutive U.S. Open title to go along with his three consecutive Wimbledon championships. It is his ninth career Grand Slam at the tender age of 25 years old. Federer, the U.S. Open champion. Todd Ant, ABC News, New York.
Florence is closing in on Bermuda, where people are braced for a hit by the season's second hurricane. It's a Category 1 storm. Winds down a bit to 80 miles an hour. The National Hurricane Center says it's still no threat to the U.S. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
This WGNU news update is brought to you by Preparation H. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. Checking the news at this hour, a St. Peter's man is dead after a rollover crash in Earth City. The Missouri Highway Patrol says 21-year-old Andrew Schilling lost control early Saturday morning on westbound I-70 at Earth City, hit a light pole, then overturned several times down an embankment. Schilling was partially ejected from his vehicle when it landed on its top in the southbound lanes of the Earth City Expressway. He was pronounced dead at the scene. And an autopsy will be performed on a man who apparently drowned in the Merrimack River. The Missouri Water Patrol reports 63-year-old Gordon Nugent was found Saturday washed up on a shoal near St. Clair. Nugent's family had reported him missing Friday after he left to go floating on the river. He had reportedly threatened suicide in the past. In other news, a convicted killer from Overland will spend the rest of his life in prison. Wendell Adams was sentenced to life without parole Friday for the murder of former St. Louis County Correctional Officer Nadia Whitmore. Whitmore's body was found in her burned-out SUV last year in the parking lot of the Overland Plaza Shopping Center. Two area teens are charged with robbery after allegedly breaking out of a psychiatric unit. Police say the 17-year-old suspects escaped from St. Joseph Hospital West in Wentzville Friday morning, stole a hospital employee's car, and led officers on a chase into North County. The teens could face more charges. Finally, at this hour, in Alton, teachers in the Alton School District will vote on a tentative contract agreement this afternoon. The teachers could have gone out on strike today if they had not reached the deal with the district last week. Salary's been the key issue in the contract dispute. The teachers' union leadership is recommending the teachers accept the deal today. The school board is expected to vote tomorrow. And that's WGNU News for this hour, brought to you by Preparation H. Preparation H cream relieves burning, itching, and also gives you maximum strength pain relief on contact. It's the most complete Preparation H relief ever. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by General Motors. Northbound 170 at Olive, the right lane is closed for crews to extend the off-ramps in an effort to relieve congestion on 170. Westbound 70 at St. Louis Avenue and Branch, that has been cleared. However, there are residual delays through the Poplar Street Bridge and near Arsenal on northbound 55. Eastbound 70 at Air Flight in Lambert, there's a report of an accident there. Northbound 55 at Potomac, look for an accident, and it's backed up all the way through 270. Eastbound 44 at Hampton, there's an accident. Left lane is blocked. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, look for delays going on there. Northbound 270 at 55 and 44 is slow due to an earlier accident. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3 all the way in the Canal Bridge, look for some delays going on there. Eastbound 70 at 370 in Cave Springs, look for some delays as well. All your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge as well as downtown, you can expect delays basically due to some prior accidents. Slow down. It's wet out there. Take it easy. This hour's traffic is sponsored by General Motors. General Motors introduces 100,000 miles of coverage and a whole new level of confidence. Now standard on 2007 cars and trucks. For more information, go to GM.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Occasional showers and thunderstorms. Locally heavy rainfall is possible for today. The high should be in the lower 80s. This evening, showers and thunderstorms are likely to continue, a low in the lower 60s. Moving on to Tuesday, cloudy, a 50% chance of showers with a high in the mid-70s. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day, a high in the mid-70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920, WGNU, we have 71 degrees. Lambert Field is holding at 72. There is some light rain going on around the area, so just use caution and slow down. That is a look at all the traffic and weather for this hour. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. More of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Revolution in the air, till my brother comes to stay.
truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. Ooh, you need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. It seems fitting. Yes, it does. It seems fitting that we would have a discussion about how safe we are, how secure we are on this fifth anniversary of 9/11. It makes sense, doesn't it? Did it make sense that we would be talking about safety and security? Because we've had some extraordinary statements coming from this administration about that issue. I heard Dick Cheney. You know, the fellow who shot his friend in the face and the heart. And then his friend apologized for being in the way of the bullets, I guess. The way to, and the way of the buckshot, I guess. Huh. We had Dick Cheney saying yesterday in front of God and everybody on Meet the Press that we are safer because we have not been attacked. We have George Bush looking us dead in the face saying, we are safer but not safe. What does that mean? Not safe negates safer. Last I understood the English language. We have Rudy Giuliani. Who is he? But he has an editorial, a big old editorial, saying we are safe or not, but not yet safe. We're safer, but we're not safe. Jesus Christ, what would it cost to pay for safety? If this much, these trillions of dollars have gotten us to the place of we're not safe, how much will it cost? The conversation that we need to be having amidst the so-called, the orchestrated, hallowed ground scamperings of Boy George and his administration. If you think Boy George and his administration, you think that this is about all of us, then explain to me why Laura Bush is only appearing in New York with Republicans. Governor Pataki, Mayor Bloomberg, and Rudy Giuliani. What, huh? these are partisan acts designed to bring about a certain result. If we're going to talk about 9/11, let's talk about the war that has resulted. And because of the decision-making that came out of 9/11, the power that was handed over to Boy George. Talking about Iraq war in this day that we are talking about, on this day. Let's talk about our safety from the perspective of Iraq. We will be doing that when we come back in the next hour, when we are joined by William Christie, a former Marine infantry officer. He's also an author and a commentator at a defense and national interest website, DNI.net. He's joining us from Asheville, North Carolina. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back. What is hospice care? Well, you see, a family can turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their home. Through pain management and emotional counseling and support and compassionate health care, the Point of Change Hospice treats the patient as a whole person facing end-of-life issues. The Point of Change Hospice provides physical, emotional, practical, and spiritual care for adults and children in the last phases of a terminal illness. Skilled hospice nursing, occupational therapy, physical therapy, medical equipment, medical supplies, medication for pain management, relief, and comfort. Point of Change accepts Medicare, Medicaid, private health insurance. Please give them a call. One of their counselors is waiting to talk to you at 535-4500. That's 535-4500. The Point of Change Hospice, caring for families, caring for our community, and caring for you.
The Oldies by the River concert series ends with a special rain date concert on Sunday at 5 p.m. at the Veterans Memorial Amphitheater at Jefferson Barracks Park. The gates open at 4. Please arrive prior to that time for admission discounts. The concert will feature Butch Wax and the Hollywoods. Admission is $8 for ages 12 and older. Children 11 and under get in free. Tickets are available only at the gate. Concessions, free parking, and lawn seating will be available. For more information, log on to stlewisco.com/parks or call 314-894-3089 or 314-615-7840. Something musical for you from Radio Free St. Louis.
Hey everybody, I'm Scott Cooper. I want to invite you to tune in to my show, Floral Design Inside and Out, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. right here on WGNU. Join me as I take you on a journey inside the incredible world of flowers. I'll entice you with ideas from weddings to home entertaining and so very much more. I'm all about flowers and a whole lot of fun. Please join me Tuesdays at 10 a.m. as we stop and smell the flowers right here on AM 920. WGNU.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Was it time you let me know what's real and going on below? But now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. And don't forget, this show is archived every hour at WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you have missed an hour, please go get your hour at WhiteRoseSociety.org. 1-877-920-WGNU. Also, the show is streamed on the net at WGNU.net, and my show is iPodded at WhiteRoseSociety.org. So there you go. Those are your digits. Handle your business. My guest this hour on the fifth anniversary of 9/11 is William Christie. He's a former Marine infantry officer and a commentator at Defense and National Interest, DNI.net. William Christie, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. Thank you for having me back.
It's good to have you back. And on this day, this five-year anniversary, when we look at one of the things that has occurred as a result of 9/11, our participation in Iraq, can you respond to George Bush's assessment that we are safer and not, but we're not safe? What does that mean?
Well, I think I would say myself that our enemies are still out there. We've made a few changes in the way we do business that have made it more difficult for them to attack us, and that's made us safer. Most of them have very little to do with the billions of dollars we've spent trying to make us safer.
Give us some examples of those.
Well, as anyone who's flown knows that most of the regulations are absolutely nonsensical. Other than armoring cockpit doors, most of it's very useless. What's really been done internally is screening people that come into the country much more effectively. We've turned away people who have come from the Middle East and sent them back, and a great many of them have ended up being super suicide bombers in Iraq. So that has worked. In a nutshell, the best defense has been a good offense, and keeping al-Qaeda on the run and capturing their leaders has been much more effective than the billions of dollars we've spent on peripheral issues. And really, our borders are still wide open and our ports are still wide open, and we're still very vulnerable in that respect.
Did preemptively attacking Iraq make us safer or not?
Well, Iraq had nothing to do with the war on terrorism.
Is it amazing to you to hear 5 years later to hear the Vice President Dick Cheney finally say out of his mouth that Iraq had nothing, or that Osama bin Laden had nothing to do with 9/11?
Well, when the CIA finally produces a report that
five years later,
it's a little difficult. It's a little difficult to keep making that argument. The only absolutely peripheral argument that you can make is that a lot of terrorists who otherwise would have concentrated on attacking us here or in Europe have been drawn into Iraq to try to attack us there. But Iraq's a completely peripheral issue to al-Qaeda and international terrorism.
And weren't there also attempts to link Iraq and al-Qaeda?
Yes, there were, and those were completely wrong, and a lot of it was...
If I could read a quote from Bush from October 2002. Iraq and al-Qaeda have had high-level contracts that go back a decade. High-level contacts that go back a decade. Iraq could decide on any given day to give a dangerous weapon to a terrorist group. Nonsense, right?
Well, they could have, but they didn't. That's the bottom line, and that Saddam was very, very leery about religious-based terrorism, which is why he preferred to support the more secular Palestinians against Israel. He was afraid of awakening the forces in Iraq that are basically awake right now.
Well, you know, I guess the Pope could have too. I mean,
well, sure, anybody could. North Koreans could have given them chemical weapons. Anybody could have given them chemical weapons. But
Israel didn't, and it wasn't a realistic judgment or a realistic prediction that they would.
Well, what it was. It was based on intelligence that a lot of the Iraqi opposition that had been based in the U.S. and Europe and were against Saddam, this was intelligence that they were feeding to the U.S., trying to get them to invade Iraq, and the CIA discounted, but the administration was very anxious to buy as a justification.
Mm. So reports of a pre-war link between Iraq and Al-Qaeda has been debunked. It's on the Chicago Tribune. I mean, we've been saying it forever, but the Chicago Tribune has it on its front pages. Where are we? Where are we in terms of safety as it pertains to Iraq?
Well, again, the terrorist threat doesn't really pertain to Iraq, Liz. Mm-hmm. That's the idea that we really have to get away from. As far as safety, let's just say that, just to give an example, if I was to send you to Pakistan to commit a terrorist act, you would have a great deal of trouble doing that because you don't fit into the culture. You would stand out. You would make notice of yourself trying to do that. And Al-Qaeda is having the same problem trying to get to the U.S. to conduct terrorist attacks simply because they don't have, in retrospect it's clear now, they don't have a lot of people who can come here in a cultural context, fit in, and conduct an attack against us without sending out warning signs that now, after 9/11, those warning signs are in place. We're screening people at the borders. We're not letting the ones that look suspicious in. So it's not that Al-Qaeda doesn't want to attack us. They want to attack us very much. The videotapes that they send out make that clearer and clearer. I mean, they're now sending them out in English instead of Arabic to make sure that the message gets through without the filter of having the U.S. media translate it. But, again, they have the desire, but they don't have the capability, though, as the attempted London airline bombings prove, they're still trying.
Are you clear? I mean, can any of us really be clear on what happened in London yet? Are we at the point that we know enough to know who, what, where?
No, we don't, because under the British system, the evidence that they've collected is going to be secret until these people come to trial. I mean, these are laws that the British developed in response to Irish Republican Army terrorism,
right?
And they have an entirely different system. Whereas in the U.S., the FBI would be following these people around, and once they were indicted, it would be a matter of public record. In the British system, their security service, which is actually a spy agency, are the ones that do this kind of surveillance, and then they turn them over to Scotland Yard in order to actually arrest them.
And, I mean, so in terms of our being able to assess the significance of these alleged attacks, we were told that they were imminent. We cannot assess any of that because we don't have the information to assess it. Although some of the information that has come out leads me to believe that the imminence of this was overstated.
Well, yes, and I would say that the imminence of it was overstated. I think it got to the point where the people involved, that their planning had developed to the point that the British were nervous about letting them continue. Again, whether it was credible is debatable. I mean, we arrested a bunch of people in Miami's Haitian community in June that were supposedly targeting the Sears Tower in Chicago and the federal office buildings in Florida.
And
they were clowns.
Even Alberto Gonzalez said they were more aspirational than operational, which means that they didn't have the means, they didn't have the ability to do anything.
Well, sure, they wanted to, but they were a bunch of clowns, really.
And I'm not even clear about the want of that, because there are people that talk smack, and there are people that talk smack with intention. And talking smack without intention is just smack.
Well, absolutely, but you see, this is the kind of problem in a police and intelligence setting, is separating the people who talk smack from the people who are talking smack and are going to act on it.
And we have to take a break. I'm talking to William Christie. We will be back. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's. Northbound 170 at Olive, the right lane is closed as crews are extending the off-ramps to help relieve congestion on 170. Eastbound 70 at Air Flight and Lambert Airport, look for an accident. The right lane is blocked. Eastbound 44 at Hampton, there's an accident. Two left lanes are blocked and the right lane is closed as well to the entrance ramp from Hampton. Expect traffic to be slowing around Big Bend. Northbound 270 at northbound 270 at 70, look for an accident there. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and 79, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at 55 and 44, it's slow. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3 and the Canal Bridge, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 70 between Poplar Street Bridge and St. Louis Avenue is slow due to an earlier accident, and all your bridge approaches are tied up going into downtown at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's. Start your day with a cup of McDonald's fresh brewed premium roast coffee. Add a warm, fresh made breakfast sandwich and bring your morning into life affirming focus. Wake up and smell your life. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Occasional showers and thunderstorms. Locally heavy rain is possible, high in the lower 80s. This evening, showers and thunderstorms with a low in the lower 60s. Tuesday, cloudy, 50% chance of showers, high in the mid-70s. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day, with a high in the mid-70s. Currently, we have 72 degrees. And Lambert Field is also reporting 72 and rain. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Shara Dalen. Join me for Women Inspiring Women every Wednesday afternoon on AM 920 WGNU. I'll be bringing my power tools, that is, power tools for women. Each week, I'll discuss who, what, when, where, and how to make it happen in your personal and professional life. So remember, join me, Shara Dalen, every Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. as part of Women Inspiring Women on AM 920 WGNU.
Not since the Civil Rights Act in the 1960s can I think of any bigger initiative that will empower African Americans to have control over their life than the stem cell initiative.
Dr. Michael DeBon, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at Washington University School of Medicine, explains why medical experts, faith leaders, and community leaders urge a yes vote on Amendment 2, the Missouri Stem Cell Research and Cures Initiative on the November state ballot.
Diabetes, sickle cell disease, hypertension, these are the type of diseases that occur in our families, in our community. Stem cell research could lead to cures for those diseases and many others. Please, please join me in voting yes on the Stem Cell Initiative to ensure that all Missourians will have equal access to future stem cell cures. Thank you.
This voter information paid for by the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures, Sandra Oss, Treasurer.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon.
Around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Like a butterfly, I sing like a hornet. They won't let me have it, not even if no one else want it. And if I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it, I'm the greatest man alive.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and my guest this hour is William Christie. He's a former Marine infantry officer, author, and commentator at the Defense and National Interest website. That's DNI.net. He's joining us from Asheville, North Carolina. William, when we talk about safety, when we talk about assessing safety, as we are talking about Iraq, one of the things that I don't hear a lot of talk about is the effectiveness of the numbers of troops that we have on the ground. We hear that we don't have enough, but how many more do we need, and how dire is the situation in terms of the number of troops we have on the ground in Iraq?
Well, the situation is dire because we can't impose any security in Iraq other than the piece of ground we happen to be standing on right now. More troops, we've reached the point where more troops are not going to be effective at all.
Why is that?
Well, mainly because we don't have any more troops to send. I mean, that's the bottom line. The entire U.S. military is either in Iraq, just coming back from Iraq, or getting ready to go into Iraq to replace the people that are there.
And when we look at the numbers that are there now, how bad is it in terms of trying to, we're fighting a nation, so we're trying to change an entire country. The numbers, could you put them in perspective for us?
Well, let's just say that there are fewer troops on the ground in all of Iraq right now than there are New York City policemen on any given shift on any given day.
Say that again?
There are fewer troops in Iraq on the ground actually doing, you know, combat troops as opposed to support work troops, cooks and bakers and everything else. There are fewer troops driving around in Humvees in all of Iraq, the entire country right now, than there are New York City policemen on duty on any given shift.
And do you think that most Americans get that?
No. No, because we say that we have 135,000 or whatever troops there, and everybody thinks that there are 135,000 troops actually in Iraq, but out of that percentage, maybe one in four are actually combat troops doing security work on the ground. And the other thing that we don't understand is that of those troops, and, you know, I wrote a commentary that looked at the data on this, 90% of what they do on a given day is concerned with taking care of their own security, the security of their bases, and the security of supply convoys that come in and supply them.
So most of the time they're just trying to keep their lines open.
Exactly.
As opposed to going out there and dealing with the issues that are on the ground.
If they do, they're just driving through the neighborhood. And that's why people are planting bombs, and it's pretty easy because we don't have enough troops to actually walk the streets like the cop on the beat. They have to drive through like the cop in say, Los Angeles that basically goes from one 911 call to another and has nothing to do with the neighborhood, and the gangs are in the neighborhood.
So how does... This being so, how do you fight a so-called insurgency?
Well, you can fight an insurgency in many ways, but right now...
With these kinds of numbers, though, how can you do that?
Well, you really can't. The thing is that we're the focus of what's going on right now. We're just a target in Iraq. We're focusing the attention of everything that's happening. But what people also have to understand is that the insurgency against us in Iraq is basically what's keeping the attention of a lot of different groups, and that most of what's going on is about Iraqi politics. And the civil war that we say isn't happening is actually happening, and it's being fought around us. We're just sort of keeping the violence somewhat under control because we're in the way of the various factions that are trying to fight each other to decide the future of Iraq.
And so this being the case, our numbers cannot change. Our military numbers really cannot change in any real way, absent a draft. Where does this path lead us?
Well, it leads us to where we are in Iraq right now, which is basically the little Dutch boy with his finger in the dike. The dike is going to collapse, and it's going to collapse at the moment we take our finger out of it, and sooner or later we're going to have to take our finger out of it.
So what's the answer?
Well, in my personal opinion, the answer is that we have to start moving out of Iraq and let the inevitable take place. And what's going to take place is a religious and cultural war in Iraq. Which I don't think we should make any mistake about this, is that this religious and cultural war in Iraq was going to happen even if we didn't invade. If Saddam Hussein and his sons had died in a plane crash or been assassinated or whatever, this was going to happen in Iraq inevitably, because there are religious and cultural forces that were going to make this happen in Iraq.
But they were keeping this in check.
Well, yes, they were,
mm-hmm.
by force.
Mm-hmm.
And only with the same level of force were we going to keep it in check. And frankly, we didn't invade with enough force in order to do that. But again, this is the whole problem is everyone's looking for the rationalizations of why we failed in Iraq right now. The bottom line is that our capabilities never met our goals. We tried to believe that with a lot of wishful thinking, that our capabilities were going to be able to stretch to reach our goals.
Who were the we that were wishing for this?
Well, the administration, obviously. I mean, if you look at the strategy for Iraq, it really wasn't strategy so much as wishful thinking. We were going to liberate the people of Iraq. And this is what we talked about in April, we liberated France, and they threw flowers at us in World War II. We occupied Germany, and we invaded it. So we really shouldn't have expected the reception that we got.
So the request to end this now, to bring them home now,
mm-hmm.
does that make sense?
I think so, personally. If we start to draw down our forces the way the administration is talking about, and there really is no... there's no plan to do that, because obviously the more we draw down forces, the more subject they are going to be to attack. We're the target. If we remove ourselves, or if we remove our forces to the Kurdish territories, for example, which would actually be a smart move, because we would protect the Kurds from Iraq from attack from both Turkey and Iran, and we would have a base to use against any kind of terrorist entity that developed in Iraq, and that would be probably very helpful. But the bottom line is that the Sunnis and the Shias in Iraq are going to settle their business one way or the other, and they're going to settle their business as soon as we leave.
Mm-hmm. And, William, where can people find more information about what you have written?
I just would suggest Googling the website Defense and the National Interest. I've written a number of commentaries there and about Iraq and Iran and counterinsurgency and the current security situation in Iraq.
William Christie, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Liz, thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Take care. Listen, folks, we will be back. Stay with me.
ConnectCare, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday.
At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Beirut. The environmental minister of Lebanon is saying that a fire from a fuel tank Israel bombed during its battle with Hezbollah fighters last month burned for some 12 days and caused a highly poisonous cloud of pollution to spread over a third of the country. The attack on the fuel plant also caused 4 million gallons of oil to spill into the sea, creating massive environmental damage. The minister says tests indicate the toxic cloud from the fire contains high levels of lead, mercury, and PCBs, all known health hazards. Not only have citizens been breathing the poisons, but crops have had it settle onto them. The minister says when the next rain happens, much of the pollutants will wash into the soil and create polluted water tables, which will ultimately result in contaminated drinking water. A spokesperson for the Israeli government says the minister's concerns are ridiculous, and the military never deliberately targeted the fuel operation to harm civilians. And Dateline Baghdad. American officials are claiming that the number of deaths from sectarian violence in Baghdad have dropped by half over the last month. But the reason is officials are simply playing with the numbers. Now the criteria is only the deaths by drive-by shootings or torture or executions will count. Those who die from car bombings or mortar attacks will not be included in the official count. Violence in the capital city reached record levels in July, and that caused American officials to move more troops there to begin a new operation designed to root out insurgents and death squads, as well as head off a possible civil war. Observers say by lying about the deaths, it gives the appearance that the situation has been successfully addressed. But figures from the Iraqi morgue indicate over 1,500 people died violent deaths in August, nearly the same amount as July. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson, inviting you to join me every Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people just like you who are overcoming obstacles and making a difference in the lives of others. You're invited to share your thoughts. You know people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. We're here to discuss what matters most to you.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. How partisan is this? How partisan is this 9/11 piece? It's kind of like the you got to look at this from the perspective of leadership. What kind of a leader? Orchestrates memorials that only include his party. Laura Bush is attending some memorial services that only include the governor of New York, Republican. Okay, I get that. He's a governor. Can't help it what party that he is part of. Okay. How about the mayor of New York? Okay, he's Republican. I get that. Why did you then go and reach out for Rudy Giuliani? He's not elected official anywhere. Aren't there two Democratic senators from the state of New York? Why weren't they part of it? If they can be partisan in this time of grief for the nation, as they would have us feel, with a heavy heart, Bush marks 9/11 at Ground Zero as New York remembers. Broken ground, portraits of grief, 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 grief. I guess you wipe the tears out of your eyes long enough to identify and separate the Republicans from the Democrats, did you not? Huh. Is calculated grief a better assessment? Steve.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I watched some of that ABC, I won't say the network, the 9/11 special.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to me, it was kind of, you know, interesting in that they took it from the back in the 90s when it was bombed. And then they showed how it went from the bombing and all the investigations to, you know, I guess leading up to what was going to happen tonight. And, you know, I mean, I'd read some articles on various websites talking about, the Clinton the ex-administration suing and wanting it pulled and this and that, and the Democrats coming out and speaking out against it. I myself, you know, I'll be honest with you. The movie probably wanted to deal with like Giuliani because he was there during those years, and so I could see why they wouldn't want to get the current, who I think is a Republican too, mayor of New York involved. Maybe they did involve him a little bit in what's going to happen tonight or something. I don't know, but you know, I mean, there was when they were talking about Clinton and the Lewinsky thing and whatnot. I mean, you know. That's like some backroom talk that might have occurred, but you know, I don't think they were coming out and making a bold statement saying, you know, he completely dropped the ball, no pun intended, on that when it came to this. But
well,
I don't think.
But here's the thing, Steve. When we analyze the impact of stories out here, we have to analyze the timing of it. We have to analyze who brought this story to us. We have to analyze the context of it. And we have to analyze and predict and project the impact of it. This story came out when? I mean, this movie was shown when? The eve of 9/11 and on the day of 9/11. So clearly this is about 9/11. No amount of disclaimers put at the end of it can change that, because even you were using the words, I think this is about reports and stuff like that, when it's not. It is the concoction of, if you read what ABC has said, one scene they had in there where they had someone slamming down the phone saying that I am not interested in finding Osama bin Laden. When asked the question of did this happen, the director said, no, we kind of created that. We took directorial license on that. Well, that's a creation. The audience watching that is not going to, not when it's played on the day of 9/11, not when it's played without commercial impact, not when there's not a disclaimer ticker running at the bottom of the screen that this is just a movie. This is just a movie. It's a docudrama, documentary. What's part of the word of docu? Documentary. Documentary means truth, right? And let me add one more thing that I don't think that you know. One of the people that was part of the making of the path to 9/11 is a man by the name of Thomas Keene. Do you know who that is? Thomas Keene is one of the people that was on the 9/11 commission and wrote a book about, co-authored the book about 9/11. Why is it significant that Tom Keene was consulted on this and why we should be suspect of everything? Thomas Keene is the former governor, Republican governor of New Jersey. His son is running for that governor's seat right now. Did you know that? And Bill Clinton is campaigning against his son. So isn't it the most conflict of interest that a dude whose son could benefit from a movie that makes Bill Clinton look bad, shouldn't he not be a part of the creation of this movie and also he's the individual that decided whether or not they were going to change some of the things in the movie. He's too partisan.
Well, okay, so I'll give you that. That was one fact that I didn't know about.
Mm-hmm. Why did you know that?
Now, I would say, what I would say, though, is I would want to know when the script was and when the whole piece about Clinton was added. If it was added after Clinton attacked his son, then I would definitely say it's suspect.
His son has been running forever. I mean, it's always been understood that his son was going to be running for office, and it's always been understood that the Democrats would be running someone against him. Whether or not they knew the day that that Bill Clinton was going to walk out there and campaign against his son, you don't have to be Sister Cleo, in order to predict that Clinton and the Democrats are going to be campaigning against your son to be governor. You don't have to have that kind of smoking gun before you can predict what you're going to do. This is a seasoned politician. This guy, Keene, is a seasoned Republican politician. He knows what's beneficial to his son. Do you think that he didn't suspect that criticism of Bill Clinton and the Democratic Party and placing the blame of Osama bin Laden not being found at their feet wouldn't possibly help his son? Come on. 7-year-old would know that.
I'll give you that in terms of strategizing. You know, that's a possibility, too.
Possibility? Come on. This is a gift. You don't even have to pay for this. Republican Party didn't even have to pay for this.
Now, the one thing that's been going through my mind since 9/11 even occurred is that I wonder how much the bureaucracy that we have, the layers of bureaucracy in our government, how much has that affected our hunt after bin Laden and what prevented 9/11 to occur?
Let me give you some of the bureaucracy. George Bush eliminated the department whose sole job is to hunt down Osama bin Laden. How do you like that bureaucracy? Was that in the movie? Hello?
From what I've heard, he didn't completely eliminate it, but they took the numbers down drastically.
They closed the department. What they're saying after they closed it is that we really didn't mean to do that and that we really didn't. The department has been eliminated. Period. Dot. How do you reduce anything in the department of the spare to go after Osama bin Laden? How is that a reduction when Halliburton's contracts go up every month? How do you reduce that?
Well, I got family that's been in the military for two generations.
Got a roll. Going to take a break, folks. I'll be back. Stay with me.
More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger.
Joseph Agnello.
David Scott.
The annual reading of the names of the people killed 5 years ago today in the September 11th attacks. It was about this time that the first of the Twin Towers collapsed. Visitors are stopping by a makeshift memorial near Ground Zero.
This church was a gathering place 5 years ago, and it still is today. St. Paul's is where the rescue workers came to get some sleep and to eat food provided by volunteers. After they stayed for a while, sleeping on the pews, they would go back outside, walk two blocks west, and start digging in that giant mound of rubble, what was once the World Trade Center. Today, the chapel serves as a memorial with cards and letters from people all over the country lining the walls next to pictures of those who died on September 11th. At St. Paul's Chapel in New York, Sherry Preston, ABC News.
184 people were killed at the Pentagon. Kathy Dillabar made it out alive. Her sister, who also worked there, didn't.
That's a call for my brother-in-law that she had been identified. Still hard.
It's also a day of remembrance in Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
The crash site is quite literally in the middle of nowhere. The nearest big town is 25 minutes away, a winding drive on two-lane roads. Aside from a hodgepodge of small tributes at the temporary memorial, there's really not much to see. But more than 100,000 people come here every year, and for each it's a deeply emotional experience. This is the final resting place of 40 Americans who, armed only with knowledge and bravery, disrupted the hijackers' plot. Here, those 40 passengers and crew are called the heroes. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
5 years later, are we any safer? If a tape reportedly released by Al-Qaeda is any indication, maybe we're not. The terror network's second-in-command urges Muslims worldwide to seek revenge against Americans and says more attacks are coming. Dow and NASDAQ both down. This is ABC News.
There is an energy crisis in my house. The kids have too much, my husband and I barely enough. You see, they're in a let's hide things for mommy phase. So I'm late for work and there's only one brown shoe in my closet. I need my Carnation Instant Breakfast.
With twice the calcium of yogurt and 21 vitamins and minerals, Carnation Instant Breakfast has the complete nutrition you need to get going, even on a Monday.
Oh boy. Kids, where'd you put the cat?
Nestle Carnation Instant Breakfast. Serious morning fuel.
There are infinite dynamics in business. There's the every customer is a repeat customer dynamic, or the pleased to meet you and here's how we can help you dynamic, or the old the customer is always right even when you know they're wrong dynamic. And to help you master such dynamics, there's Microsoft Dynamics, software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
The man who claimed he killed JonBenet Ramsey is still in a Colorado jail, even though he's no longer a suspect in the case. He's wanted in California on child pornography charges, but there's a delay in his extradition.
Noting a new dynamic in the case, police in Northern California say there are some glitches involving Carr's extradition. The Santa Rosa Press Democrat reporting Sonoma County, California sheriff's deputies went to Boulder, Colorado to pick up Carr, but they came back empty-handed. Authorities won't say what's causing the apparent delays, but there is some speculation Carr could soon face federal charges involving sex tourism laws.
That's ABC's Alex Stone in Los Angeles. Space Shuttle Atlantis docked with the International Space Station this morning, bringing a huge addition to the station, a truss that will be used to regulate temperature, power, and data. You're paying less for gasoline these days. Latest Lundberg survey puts the national average down to $2.65 a gallon. That's down 22 cents over the past 2 weeks. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom. Here's a WGNU News report brought to you by General Motors. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news this morning, St. Louisans are remembering one of the most tragic days in U.S. history.
The America Supports You Freedom Walk begins at 10 this morning at the Anheuser-Busch Soccer Park Center in Fenton. Event organizer John Jerome explains what the Freedom Walk is all about.
The walk is around the soccer tracks. The walk is planned to be 2 miles, but we're asking the people, if they're tired, just to do what you feel comfortable with. This is a memorial event, and it's just time to walk, reflect on the events of September 11th and the tragedy, and also to remember the soldiers that are still fighting today.
America Supports You Freedom Walks are being held in 120 cities across the U.S. today. An 8-foot-tall, 35-foot-long banner will be present at the walk containing all the names of those who lost their lives on September 11th, 2001. And meanwhile, it's important for a society to commemorate historic events like 9-1-1. That's according to clinical psychologist and Washington University professor Dick Wetzel, who says some individuals may still find it very distressing. Wetzel says images of the many remembrances will stir emotions for most Americans, and if they're too upsetting, people should limit their exposure. Dr. Wetzel adds that very young children should not be exposed to graphic or frightening images. And that's a report of WGNU News for this hour. It's been brought to you by General Motors. General Motors introduces 100,000 miles of coverage and a whole new level of confidence, now standard on 2007 cars and trucks. Learn more at GM.com. I'm Peyton Colston, reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Northbound 170 at Olive, the right lane is closed for crews to extend the off-ramps in an effort to relieve congestion on 170. Westbound 270 onto the ramp to southbound 170, disabled vehicle on the right shoulder. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed for maintenance work. There are a number of ongoing construction projects throughout the St. Louis Metropolitan, St. Louis County, St. Charles County, and the Metro East, so use caution as you roll through those work zones due to the wet roads and just watching out for other motorists as well as the construction workers. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Now there are three new pick-and-play games plus the four you love from the Illinois Lottery. See retailer for details. Have a ball. Play responsibly. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Occasional showers and thunderstorms. Locally, heavy rain is possible. High in the lower 80s this evening. Showers and thunderstorms likely. Low in the lower 60s. Tuesday, cloudy. A 50% chance of showers. High in the mid-70s. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the morning. Partly sunny throughout the day. High in the mid-70s. Currently we have 72 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73 degrees and sprinkles. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
But the hard truth is
to share in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Mondays at 9. My name is Liz Brown. I believe that it is appropriate. I believe that it is necessary that we have a discussion on this five-year anniversary of 9/11, of where this nation has headed 5 years after, where this nation has landed 5 years after, and what it has cost us. We've talked a little bit this morning, a lot this morning, about some of the things that it has cost us. I think the definition of safety that has cost us. We are safer but not safe, huh? Safer, not safe, negates safer. That the definition of the enemy has been expanded to include North Korea, Venezuela, Hamas, everybody. It no longer is the Al-Qaeda. We have dismantled, or this administration has dismantled the office whose job it was to seek out and find Osama bin Laden. I don't understand the priorities of this nation. And since we spent some time this morning talking about that, let us talk a little bit about, in the next hour, about the actual dollar cost to this nation 5 years after 9/11, and specifically the dollar cost of this occupation of Iraq, this preemptive strike on Iraq. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the fact that this administration has placed a priority on getting us into war, getting us stuck in war, and seemingly keeping us forever in war. War doesn't come cheap, especially how this administration executes it. And despite what you may believe, despite the fact that some of you may think like irresponsible, reckless people who are handling their own finances believe, how could I be out of money? I have plenty of checks. The United States budget is not bottomless. If we spend trillions of dollars on this war, that money comes from someplace. If we don't take in the amount of taxes that we used to because of tax cuts, the money to execute this war has to come from someplace. We don't have a bottomless money pit. hit. Although the execution of this war sure makes us feel like we're throwing our money into one. We need to talk about this, our priorities, and what this administration's priorities, what it's costing us. We'll have that conversation when we come back. I'll be talking with Dr. Anita Dunch. She is the Research Director of National Priorities Project, joining us from Western Massachusetts. We're going to be talking about the cost of the Iraq War. What's it costing us? You don't want to miss this. Stay with us.
What critters live on the forest floor? Find out on Thursday, August 31st from 10 to 11:30 a.m. We'll sift through leaves and search the nooks and crannies of fallen logs. Learn what these insects eat and how they survive. For more information, call 314-877-6014. Something for you from Radio Free St. Louis.
Hey everybody, this is Scott Cooper. Please join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. right here on WGNU as I brighten your day with my show, Floral Design Inside and Out.
Honey, everything's coming up roses.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
One always picks the easy fight. One praises fools, one's mother's light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back. Our discussion this morning is the cost of the Iraq War, and subsequently what it indicates about where this country, where this administration places its priorities. My guest joining me from Western Massachusetts is Dr. Anita Dunch. She is the Research Director of the National Priorities Project. Dr. Dunch, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very, very good. All right. If we punch in the numbers to the cost of the Iraq War calculator, besides needing a calculator with lots and lots of zeros, what would that number get to?
Well, the total amount allocated for the Iraq War, so either money that has already been spent or that's been allocated, is about very close to $320 billion. It's $318.5 billion. And that's for about 3.5 years of war. Of course, we are approaching the end of this fiscal year. That will happen at the end of September. But Congress is already considering adding on another lump of money to this, but for the moment, what we've spent or what's been allocated is $318.5 billion.
So we're talking about a little over $100 billion a year.
It's for 3.5 years, so it actually works out to a little less than that. But this fiscal year 06 is the fiscal year, the federal fiscal year we're in right now, will be about $100-101 billion for this fiscal year. The actual costs of war have increased.
Okay. When we look at this, when we break these numbers down, mm-hmm. what do they include? What does the spending include?
Well, primarily it is straight out military spending. But some of it, a little over $20 billion, is for reconstruction. Of course, a lot of, war creates a lot of damage, so there's been money allocated to restore electricity and water service and those types of basic infrastructural needs. I would also add, though, that because that money actually has been very slowly spent because the war has basically gone so badly, it's been difficult to get to work on a lot of those infrastructures and a lot of places in Iraq, your basic Iraqi family services, electrical or water or whatever, are worse than they were prior to the war. And then there's some other smaller amounts of money for sort of miscellaneous things like building. There's an enormous amount of money to build a U.S. embassy in Iraq and some things like that. But the vast, vast majority is just straight out military spending. It's paying for the combat pay of the soldiers, not the regular pay, but the combat pay. It's paying for the bullets, bombs, guns, all of the planes, all of that, what gets used in war.
But it doesn't include things like future medical care, and it doesn't include whether or not it includes the wear and tear on the military.
Well, not exactly. As far as future medical care goes, no. When the last time Congress allocated some money, there was a small amount for some additional veterans care. However, that's a very small amount of money just for the time being. Future medical care costs are not figured into this, and. You know, they will be substantial because while nowadays not very many soldiers die because of the proximity of medical care and the level of medical care, an enormous amount live but become permanently disabled. So of the around 20,000 soldiers who've been injured, about half of them have lifetime disabling injuries. So there will be those medical costs. Now, the other part of your question, the wear and tear on equipment, some of the military hardware, whatever, the guns, bombs, the tanks, is starting to... There was some money allocated in the most recent round of Congress allocating money for some replacement. However, at this point, it's really hard to say, and I would speculate that we'll only really know later on as they continue to replace equipment that's been destroyed or that has had a lot of wear and tear, how much money that actually costs.
Because a lot of people out here hear larger numbers, but usually those numbers that they hear include things like the Afghanistan war or the cost for enhanced security, things like that. This is simply the cost of the Iraq war.
Yes, if you hear, you know, your local newspaper or a politician citing a number, they very well might be lumping other things in there. This number, $318.5 billion, so far, that's a pretty well-accepted figure for, but it just includes the Iraq war, not the war in Afghanistan or what's called enhanced base security is another number that gets thrown in there, and that's just for enhanced security on military bases abroad, essentially, is what that is. But.
So the National Priorities Project did a comparison with the cost of this war. Can you walk us through some of the comparisons? If we compare this to, let's say, the cost of Head Start, how does that work? How does this comparison process work?
Well, okay, I'm gonna talk about our latest addition is to look at the cost by congressional district.
Okay.
That's been the last thing we've most recently added to our website. Now, anyone can find this information at nationalpriorities.org. We have the information presented in a few different ways on different web pages. So you can find information for St. Louis or for all of Missouri or for the whole country. But we've recently added congressional districts, and I'm not, do you know what congressional district you live in? What number it is?
The first congressional district.
You live in the first one. Okay, so we're going to put that in. That's Clay Jr. as a representative?
Lacey Clay, that is correct.
Okay. Okay, so taxpayers in that congressional district, Congressional District 1, will pay $503.2 million for the Iraq War. And again, that's so far. That's what's been allocated so far. We're going to see in a few weeks when Congress allocates money, we're going to see these totals bump up. But for that amount of money, again, that's, you know, $500 million, you could have had 74,000 Head Start places for children for 1 year, I should say. You could have built nearly 80 new elementary schools. You could have, you know, if you're worried about other aspects of national security, such as the ports and port security, you could have hired for 1 year nearly 7,800 port container inspectors. So, you know, there's all these, every dollar we spend on war is a dollar that we're not, that we can't spend somewhere else.
And I think it's important to go through some more of these categories because I want people to feel that this is simply what could have been done in the first congressional district with $503 million that we paid for this war over the last 3.5 years. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay, so we've gotten 80 elementary schools that we could have built, 74,000 Head Start babies that could have gone to school. We'll be back to talk about housing. We'll be back to talk about health care, scholarships, hunger, immunizations, all of that. I am talking this morning to Dr. Anita Dunch. She is the research director of the National Priorities Project. I'd also like to take a look at the 3rd Congressional District as well when we come back. My name is Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9. Stay with me. Is hospice care. Families turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides physical, emotional, practical, and spiritual care for adults and children in the last phases of a terminal illness. They provide an environment in which the families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their own home. The Point of Change Hospice provides skilled hospice nursing, medical social services, occupational therapy, physical therapy, chaplain and counseling services, trained hospice volunteers, medical equipment, medical supplies, medication for pain management, relief, and comfort. The Point of Change Hospice. Give them a call. One of their counselors is waiting to hold your hand and walk you through this. The number is 535-4500. That's 535-4500. The Point of Change Hospice. Caring for families, caring for our community, and caring for you.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the hosts of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one.
We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Grandma's hands used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hands picked me up each time I fell low. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a handy. She'd say, Matty, don't you whip that boy.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Mondays at 9. My guest this morning is Dr. Anita Dunsch, Research Director of the National Priorities Project, joining us from Massachusetts. And we're talking about the cost of this war. We're talking about the cost of the Iraq War calculator set to reach, it's already reached $318 billion. And we're going by congressional district to see what could, what we could have paid for had this money been, had not been spent in Iraq. And Dr. Dunsch, welcome back.
Thank you.
As we walk through the first congressional district, we've talked about Head Start, we've talked about elementary schools. Let's talk about housing. What can we do with that $503 million that has been spent on this war just from the first congressional district?
And I actually just want to point out one thing. We have a lot of information about the cost of the Iraq War on our website. The congressional district are on what's called the trade-offs page, which is different than the calculator. But anyway, go to our website at nationalpriorities.org. You can slice it up any way you like. So back to Congressional District 1. Well, for that same amount of money, a little over $500 million, you could build about 5,700 affordable housing units. We should add, when you're talking about building affordable housing units or you're talking about building schools, and one of the reasons we like to give that example of the schools and the housing is because a lot of areas are having huge huge problems with the actual condition of their schools and the size of their schools. And we know across the country, so many areas are afflicted by a shortage of affordable housing units. But when we build housing units, when we build houses or we build schools, we're also creating jobs in the local economy. So, you know, another point to keep in mind, there's a multiplier effect of spending this money.
But you're also shoring up and you're stabilizing neighborhoods. And you're shoring up and you're stabilizing. I live in an urban area. I live in the city of St. Louis. So you are giving people reasons to come and to live or to stay in the city of St. Louis when you build new elementary schools, when you create these jobs, when you give people a reason to stay or to live.
Absolutely. It's just, you know, it goes to the health and well-being of the community as a whole.
So elementary school teachers.
Elementary school teachers, about 11,000. Now, that would be for 1 year, and we all know the Iraq War has been close to 3.5, but still, you know, that's more than, if you want to go for the whole length of the war where we're at this point spending, around, you know, every year we stay in the Iraq War, we're going to spend $75 to $100 billion per year.
And again, this is simply for the 1st Congressional District.
Right.
So it's not as if the 1st Congressional District needs 11,000 teachers. So certainly something like that could be spread over a number of years, given what the need of the district is.
Absolutely. When we talk about 116,000 people with, you know, getting health care coverage for 1 year. Your district, I don't know offhand, but I'm guessing your district has far fewer uninsured people than that number.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even spread out over a few years, it's basically going to, you know, the money could have covered for health care coverage for the uninsured people in your district.
Well, when we look at where this money comes from, okay, it's $503 million for the 1st Congressional District that has been spent on this war. These are coming out of our taxes. How does that work? How do we calculate that number?
Well, we know what Missouri contributes in taxes from IRS data.
Mm-hmm.
And that share that Missouri contributes is composed mostly of individual income tax dollars. Okay, so you know, when we pay some federal income taxes, that's most of what's making up this money.
Mm-hmm.
It also includes, to a much lesser extent, corporate income taxes, because there's much less corporate income taxes than there are individual income taxes. And then some miscellaneous ones like the estate and gift tax and excise taxes, which are actually make up a fairly small portion. In general, when we're looking at these budgets, we're talking about individual income taxes from year to year make up about 70, you know, at least 75%. So this is basically your individual income tax dollars. We have IRS data, so we know what Missouri's share of taxes being paid in compared to other states. And then when we break it down for congressional districts, we're looking at two things: the population, and we're also looking at its income relative to the state and relative to other congressional districts. So, for example, you know, a congressional district that tends to have wealthier families in it, because they will pay, in general, more in individual income taxes, our methodology then comes up with an estimate that will be higher than, you know, something relatively with families that are in general a little bit lower on the income spectrum.
I want to continue this conversation about the 1st Congressional District, but I also want to ask you this before we do that. Are there any congressional districts that stand out? You talked a few seconds ago about how some, because they have some wealthier folks in that district, may end up paying more. What's the district, or do you have it broken down from as it pertains to the most, the district that pays the most, the district that pays the least? Or were there any notable things as you were putting together these congressional numbers that caught your eye?
Uh-huh. I actually haven't looked at which one is paying the most. However, there are a few in, like, California and in Connecticut and in some places where the congressional district is paying over $1 billion.
Really?
So you're in St. Louis Congressional District number 1, Representative Clay. You're around $500 million, but there are congressional districts that
have
our estimates come out with over $1 billion.
Per so. Congressional district. What about the 3rd Congressional District? How does that look?
Well, let's take a look at that. That is Representative Carnahan.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay, so similar, but a little bit more, $570 million.
Mm-hmm. So not a whole lot more.
No.
Not a whole lot more. All right, let's go through some more of these categories in terms of what could have been spent, where the money could have been spent.
Okay, well, let's look at how about scholarships? And by scholarships for university students, I mean like tuition and fees. So we're on District 3. We have $570 million. That's about 87,000 scholarships. If we divide that by 4, we have more than 20, you know, just 4 for 4 years of college. You know, that's more than 20,000 university students in that congressional district could have had their tuition and fees paid for at I'm sorry, what is the flagship university in Missouri?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. It depends on who you talk to. We're talking about a state college, UMSL, or we could talk about Harris Stowe. There are a number of them.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I would also like to talk about, as we kind of extrapolated the significance of building new schools, the significance of having that many students that walk out of school with no debt is a very important thing in terms of the weight that has on our economy, because they come into the economy debt-free. And that's a good thing.
Right. You know, well, coming in debt-free, but also giving a lot of people who just either start college and can't make it through because they're just overwhelmed with the finances or rule out college. As I think we were talking on another day some months ago about maybe they join the military because they don't feel like they can afford college.
Or so, even the peace of mind of going through school knowing that they do not have to, that the school will be paid for so that they are able to focus on their studies and do what they're supposed to do in school.
Right, right. You know, that's just, you know, just giving, you know, leveling the playing field.
Exactly.
For, you know, so we all know, like, and I even checked this with my own university education. University education is so much higher than it was when I went to school.
Absolutely.
It's so much more expensive. Tuition is being just increased year after year at pretty much wherever you, whatever state or university you look at. Tuition has been going up quite significantly.
Well, and absolutely, and not even to mention the going on to get a doctorate. The price of that is just obscene. I went to law school, and the idea that people are paying $20,000 a semester just blows me away. It just absolutely blows me away that is what people are paying. Let's talk about, we've talked a little bit about education. How do we use these numbers to assess what could be done for hunger? We're going to have that conversation when we come back. I'm talking to Dr. Anita Dunch. She is the research director of the National Priorities Project. She's joining us from Western Massachusetts. My name is Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9. Stay with us.
What America needs is affordable health insurance.
Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds. Those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
Hi, I'm Donna Gamash.
And I'm Carrie Silverstock.
Join us every Tuesday from 1 to 2 p.m. for Make It Happen Stories on Women Inspiring Women.
Right here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Washington. The Army is testing the concept of using private recruiting organizations to get more people to join the military. The current conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan have made it difficult to keep up with monthly quotas for both the Army and the Reserve, even with new signing bonuses and a higher maximum age requirement. There have also been increasing reports of recruiting violations and unethical and illegal acts by military recruiters. So the Army has enlisted two companies called Serco and MPRI to see how well they can do. So far, they have over 4,000 people working across the country and have signed up 15,000 soldiers. They get a little under $6,000 for each person they recruit. These companies have started to make a game out of the recruiting process for their employees, offering perks from cash bonuses to leather jackets. Each recruiter starts out at about $20,000, but can make at least $50,000 or better with bonuses and commissions. The Army says it's happy with the pilot project and wants to continue the $170 million funding for it. And Dateline New York. Another bit of information regarding the 9/11 attacks. There was controversy over whether Building 7 at the World Trade Center collapsed from the damage to the Twin Towers or whether it was knocked down by rescue personnel. It was revealed that the CIA had an office operating in Building 7 that was part of its counter-terrorist and counterintelligence operations. CIA officials conducted in-depth assessments to make sure that all documents in that office were not lost that day. The New York Times had previously reported that the office was used as a base of operations to spy on and recruit foreign diplomats who were stationed at the UN. It also conducted debriefing of business executives and others who returned to the U.S. from overseas assignments. The CIA says none of its personnel were lost in the collapse of the building that day. World Trade Center 7 was 47 floors tall and also had leased space to the Secret Service, the Defense Department, the Immigration and Naturalization Service, and the Securities and Exchange Commission, as well as the CIA. Building 7 was the furthest structure in the complex from the Twin Towers and sustained no major damage from the collapse of them. But it was not hit by any aircraft. It is known that isolated fires were observed on the south side of the building between the 6th and 12th floors, but they were not addressed by the fire department because of the catastrophe with the Twin Towers. The official report is that those fires caused the building to collapse straight down, meaning all four of the load-bearing walls would have had to fail at the same time, even though the fire appeared to be only on one side of the building. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson. Join me right after the 10 o'clock news here on AM 920 WGNU.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
But I can't turn back. My heart is beating.
my mind's made up. I'll never stop in my feelings.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Mondays at 9. This morning, we are calculating on our cost of Iraq, the Iraq War calculator, the amount of money that has been spent on this war, and the priorities of it. What if the money had been spent elsewhere? What would we have been able to pay for? Our guest this hour is Dr. Anita Dunch. She is the research director of the National Priorities Project, joining us from Western Massachusetts. Dr. Dunch, welcome back. Let me get to a caller or two here. Gary, you have a question for our guest, Dr. Anita Dunch.
Yes, I do. Doctor, I'm wondering, do you think that even though wars are terrible, of course, that sometimes they're necessary?
Do I think wars are sometimes necessary?
Yes.
I think there are cases where military action is the maybe the only response. I do think that in the case of the Iraq War was unnecessary. Iraq was by far not an imminent threat, and we had UN inspections going on. We had a lot of circumstances in which, you know, we could have resolved any issues with Iraq without the resort to force. And in fact, I think waging a war in Iraq has, in many ways, reduced our national security.
Thank you. Did you have another question, Gary?
Yeah, the second part to that. Don't you think in World War One and World War Two there was groups like this that came around saying, oh, look at the money we could have saved with this, and I think we turn our back on a lot of people when we try to save money too stringently and leave the people of Iraq, et cetera, defenseless.
And let's try to analyze that question or at least deconstruct that question. Do we, Dr. Dunch, have a comparison in terms of the amount of money that, say, a World War One or World War Two cost us? Do we have that kind of a comparison? Is what we are spending in Iraq compared to other wars, does it far and exceed what we spend proportionately?
I'm trying to think of what those numbers are. What I can say is that soon Iraq will be approaching what the cost of Vietnam.
The entire cost of Vietnam?
Yes. But that's not you know, in a couple years it will exceed the cost of Vietnam. World War II was just an outstanding amount of money, so we're still a ways away from that.
But can't we also factor in the number of things that are not happening in this country as a result of this war? In World War II, all kinds of jobs were created in the United States. We had an economic boom in this country as a result of that. Not to say the war is ever defensible on that if we're going to create jobs, but we gained some things in the United States that we're not gaining in this war.
Well, World War II did create a lot of jobs. It's attributed to pulling, you know, giving the final yank to the U.S. out of the Great Depression. However, we wouldn't want to pursue the what's called the broken window fallacy, and that's, you know, when if you break a window, yes, it expands the economy because you have to go out and buy a new window and have that window installed. You know, that other money you could have spent on something else. So that's what the broken window fallacy is. When
but we can't
spend money on war, we're basically blowing up things and blowing up people. So it's incredibly destructive.
But we can't even make the broken window argument with respect to this Iraq war like we have with other wars.
It's not. You don't really see a major stimulation to the economy from the Iraq War. That's certainly the case.
So let's talk some more about the numbers here. One of the comments made by the caller is that, you know, well, you know, it's basically worth the cost of creating a democracy or freeing people in Iraq. How do you respond to that?
Well, actually, you know, we would want to remember that the latest estimate, the latest research, of course we don't know how many Iraqis have died in this war, but the latest research indicates that it's around 250,000. So that's a quarter of a million people. So you do have to begin to question how many Iraqis have to die for them to be, you know, so-called liberated. And I certainly, if part of the question is getting at, you know, spending money on reconstruction, I do want to be clear that we at this point, we have a moral obligation to pay for the reconstruction in Iraq.
To fix what was broken.
Yes.
So let's go back to a few more numbers here. Hunger. What could we have dealt with in the Congress?
This brings up a very good point. And this goes back to, you know, when the caller asked, you know, is war ever necessary? And I do think, you know, and if we're talking about World War I and World War II and we're talking about the Iraq War, whatever war, we should always look at, were there ways to avoid war? And maybe you reach a conclusion of no. In the case of Iraq, I think it's, you know, people are pretty clear that Iraq wasn't an imminent security threat.
It wasn't necessary.
So it was
a war of choice.
Yeah, a war of choice. So, but when we talk about things like world hunger, when we talk about what is going on in the world, there's all of these things we could be doing to positively influence, you know, playing a role as a superpower to positively influence the world. Now, for example, the United Nations estimates that if we increase spending on global anti-hunger efforts by $24 billion a year, okay, that's a lot of money, but $24 billion a year, we could cut hunger in half in the world by 2015. Now, without getting too complicated about the issue and the causes of world hunger, which is quite prevalent in the world, you know, think about that. We could take basically a third or a fourth of what we're spending every year on the Iraq War and put it towards reducing global hunger and see, you know, over the years a payoff in improving the living conditions of people around the world, thereby, you know, perhaps achieving such goals as reducing hostility. I mean, that's one of the problems with the Iraq War and why I say it, you know, it's undermined our national security. It's created an enormous amount of hostility in the world. And so we have to think of how can we play a positive role? What are ways we can use our money, our strong economy? You know, we're a superpower. How can we use that in positive ways to reduce global conflict in the world?
And we have about one more minute left here. Dr. Dunge, what was the most startling piece of information that you you got from this priority project? What struck you the most?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure. I would just say that, you know, military operations in general, when we look at how much military spending has gone up, we spend every year, we're now spending, you know, this year about $570 billion just on the military. Military operations are enormously expensive. And while, you know, like the caller alluded, we don't want to be penny pinching everywhere because that hurts people too, we want to think of what the wisest way of spending our money. And we at least want to have a public debate about it.
Fair enough. Let that be the last word. Dr. Anita Dunge, thank you so much. Give us your website one more time, please.
Thank you. Nationalpriorities.org.
Very good. Dr. Dunge, thank you, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
9 inches and pull it out 6 inches. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing heaven. that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.